gonna look twice at you until I see the Christ in you.
Welcome back to the Faith Walking Meditations. We are this week continuing our conversations about discernment. We're going to talk today about the spiritual practices and discernment. We're loosely following Henry Nouwen's book, Discernment, Reading the Signs of Daily Life. And it has been a good journey. I don't know if it is for you, but it is for me. I enjoy a lot the refreshing coming back to understanding, discerning. There are always things in my life that require this kind of light, the light of the Lord. So spiritual practice and discernment. Let me start by a reminder of Henry Nouwen's definition of discernment. I think it's very helpful to start there to kind of funnel a little bit our understanding of what we are talking about. So he says discernment is a spiritual understanding, an experiential knowledge of how God is active in daily life, and is acquired through disciplined spiritual practice. Discernment implies a life of faith and attentive listening to God's love and will, so that we can fulfill our individual vocation and shared mission. Yeah, it's refreshing, isn't it? There's a big goal in discernment. Lot is a greater goal than the one that I used for many years thought when I thought of this discernment. I just need to know. Give me guidance. Give me instructions. And all that is helpful. But, so I can fulfill my individual vocation and mission. That puts that in a bigger perspective, right? So I want to pay attention a little bit more. So last week we talked about this idea of spiritual understanding, experiential knowledge in daily life. And today we're going to try to set the context of spiritual practices. And a lot of good conversation about the spiritual practices. If you like them, you enjoy it and you say, yes, I understand. I want to hear more. If you don't like them, you say, come on, again? Again, spiritual practices. And the truth is that the spiritual practices are the means, not the ends, but the means in which our spiritual life evolves and grows and is influenced by the Spirit of God. So I don't know what to do or what to say about it, but I hope when you hear about the spiritual practices, you don't listen or don't hear that from the perspective of, checking and this is just my devotional or my quiet time. There's a lot more than that. The faith walking conversations, we are intentionally trying to expand this conversation. Spiritual practices are a life. Our life is a practice. I'm mindful of people saying, be faithful to your practice, and your practice will be faithful to you. We practice our practices until our life becomes a practice, right? And that's the reality of it. So the breathing is a spiritual practice. Walking is a spiritual practice. Feeling or nurturing my soul, choosing joy. We're talking about practices that are far more just the traditional practices that we are talking about. So a few thoughts about the spiritual practices and discernment. So remember that we're talking about discernment, not as a tool. Okay, I need to know if I can marry my girlfriend. I'm playing, but that was the discernment when I was in a group of singles, right? And hey, that's completely valid question too. But we're not just talking of discernment in this conversation about that, yes or not, the Urim and the Turim, right? Okay, what is the will of God? And they will throw the Urim and Turim, right? And we will yes or not. We're talking about discernment as a lifestyle, right? Lifestyle of listening. Conversation in our previous episode, we were talking about walking or listening to a different drum, right? A different drum is a different sound, a deeper voice. So in this context of lifestyle, we're talking about practices too, as a lifestyle of offering my life to the Lord. Think of Romans 12:2 as a passage, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you might discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And just before that, verse 1 says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, right? So it embodies the whole reality of our existence, of our being, right? So another thing to consider is that the means of discernment are the spiritual practices. It seems a little bit redundant, but we believe that discernment, what we want to hear, doesn't come from us or from practice itself. Because what we are trying to hear, it comes from God. Discernment comes from God. We want to receive the heart of God. And the heart of God it can be known. It's not static, but so it comes from Him. From God, our human part is just showing up. It's the intentional effort to pay attention, the intentional effort, constant effort to create time and space to listen to God. So I hope that puts a little bit in perspective what we are talking when we talk about practices. So I like the when we talk about practices and previous episodes, we have talked a lot about practices, by the way. Now I'm thinking we have been more than a year that we have been doing the meditations, and we have talked about practices and we have talked about rhythms of soul care and practices of engagement, practices of abstinence. I like a lot the idea of rhythms, right? And we are going to talk about practices of solitude and practices of community, right? As rhythms, but as you think in very practical aspects of spiritual practices that embody the whole life, my life, there is one, I don't know if I call it a practice or, you know, what to call it, but the rule of life, and you might be familiar with the term, right? That comes from the monastic life, Benedict, and this idea that I set my life through a rule, not as a legalistic approach, but as an intentional effort to create a space to commune with God, and with others, to seek His voice, discernment, right? So it's the integration of practice into my whole life instead or in contrast with the, you know, just adding little points of touching points here and there, compartmentalizing my life from my spiritual discipline. So rule of life, you can Google, you can learn about a lot about that. Steve Macchia has a really good information and teaches a lot about rule of life. So that's a practical aspect, right? Discernment is going to flow out of some intentionality with your rule of life. So that's important if you want to practice discernment as a lifestyle. Another thing that is important is to consider the role of scripture and spiritual reading. So this is not only about mindfulness and silence that is empty of just filled with emptiness, if it makes sense. There's a huge role of scripture. We were talking about a tradition, in this case, discernment, seeking the heart of God. And we see the life of Jesus, and that's the model. So actually, I'm very aware of Steve Macchia saying, if you want to practice Christian discernment and you don't want to read the scriptures, please don't even try it. Please don't try it. Don't start, because you need scripture. This is one of the means which God is going to speak. And there is, it is not a scripture in a sense of intellectual knowledge or systematic theology approach, but this is scripture as the representative, the means, again, of what God has revealed about Himself, the heart of God. I want to read the letters of God because I want to know the heart of God, in the same way that the beloved is reading the letters of the bride, because wants to know the heart of the bride. So spiritual reading too is extended, and we use a lot that we're actually using this book of Henry now as spiritual reading in a way. Another aspect to consider is the intentionality of discovering your own spiritual seasons, stages, and styles, right? So this is not a plan of discernment that is static. You're, okay, everybody has to do this, 1, 2, and 3. No, it doesn't work that way, right? We have talked about that in other episodes too, but I like to think of seasons of a spiritual journey. Like we're changing. I don't know, this is just turning into fall, right? And in many places, it doesn't look like fall yet, especially here in Houston, even though this week has been great. But I was telling my kids, it's the fall, and I say, oh, great, big deal. Well, no, you don't see it yet, but you know, in a few weeks, you're going to look at the trees and you're not going to see leaves anymore. Can you imagine? So seasons change. And other things change with seasons. Stages, you know, I mean, we get into different stages in our spiritual walk, right? We grow, hopefully, we mature, and this is a journey. And there are stylists, for sure. There are people who love it in a world that is more intellectual. Other people are more contemplative. So you have to discover that. I love this quote. I have to put it here because I just love it. You know, George Washington Carver, he says, how far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and the strong. Because someday in life, you will have been all of this. And so that brings a little good light. You know, we are changing beings. And our discernment, our practices, our rule of life changes with time. So let's enter briefly, discernment in solitude, right? An example that I find in the Bible, there are many others, right? I like it because, I don't know, I relate with this. This is the Psalm of 73, Asaph. It's not David, but he is talking in this Psalm how he's pretty much mad and angry that the unrighteous person gets away with a lot. You know, how is this? And there's a whole complaint in the first 10 verses or 15 verses. How is this guy? You know, he lies, he does bad, he cheats and gets away. And what's the point of being righteous, Lord, right? And it comes to this turning point in the Psalm. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a worrisome task. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end, talking about the unrighteous, right? It talks about it, but then continues in verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And these beautiful words. Who else I have in heaven but you? My flesh and my heart might be weakened, but you are, the Lord is my portion. Forever and ever. It's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. But you see, the discernment takes in the secrecy of the solitude of him being in the sanctuary of God. So it's one of several examples. You might find others in scripture. And in a practical way, you know, practices, spiritual practices that allows you to have that self-reflection, that the time of solitude, that the self-awareness you and what's going on in you. I like it. This actually comes from my own experience in faith walking. Awareness, as I say, of the whispers of the spirit in my soul. Sometimes it's so subtle. Something is happening. I really have to slow down and listen because it's very subtle. God is showing me that something needs to change, or is showing me something. Other times, I'm aware of the yelling, of my overreactions. Oh my gosh, where did that come from? Right? Same thing. This is the solitude. And it happens when you slow down and you reflect what's going on in your life. It's more than just journaling about your day. It is wondering, curiosity, with the help of the Holy Spirit, what's going on? What's God doing? practice, I meant there are many, many practices, meditation, prayer, lectio. You can Google for them or even listen to other episodes. But I like this one, the examine, right? And the examine as a practice of holding a question before God. What is the question that your soul has where it needs discernment? Where do you need guidance? What would it be like to hold this question before the Lord one day, after another day, after another day, after another day? You know, if you're like me, probably is in my full self, I get tired of it and then I forget. But the practice of examining, you know, bringing this, examining my heart. And I can tell you sometimes, the answer is very surprising, or the way that it comes. But these are some thoughts about discernment in solitude, practices that in solitude help me to pay attention to the Spirit of the Lord speaking to my heart. Now, what about discernment in community? Okay, this is the other rhythm. Remember, I love that. I love the wholeness of community and silence and solitude. And sometimes we think of a spirituality mostly in, you know, I don't know, maybe solitude. But this is the rhythms. This is what we see in Jesus, this is what we see in breathing. This is an example. Again, there are many. Acts verse 13, verses 2 and 3. Well, they were worshiping in Antioch, right? Where they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Famous passage, right? Barnabas and Paul are sent to this amazing journey that, in a way, the Lord uses to give us not only growth, but also the scripture, epistles of Paul. So there's so many, the councils of the church and other examples. So practical comments or thoughts there. First, the importance of creating a time and a space to seek God in community. I don't know for you, but that's hard for me. I'm really good to do things alone. And to do things in community, it takes an extra effort for me. And I want you to think that there's a distinction between a community and a spiritual community. And even I will dare to say that there is a distinction between, and the terms here might be tricky, okay? So don't be too literal, but a discipling community and a spiritual community. A mentoring community and a spiritual direction community. Or discernment community. There are different roles, different tones to it. And I'm talking here about the spiritual community for discernment, right? A spiritual community in which the goal is, this is like a spiritual friendship, right? Where the goal is not to teach you, not to, I mean, hey, the Lord might use that or not, but the goal here is to listen together, to wonder what God is saying, what God is doing. It is not about the intellectual knowledge. It's not about the discipleship, about teaching you kind of the basics of the milk that Paul talks in his letters. So it is also the intentionality of holding the question, a question, before the Lord in community. And I have to admit that there are not many, many, many examples in practicity for me. I come from a Catholic background with not a lot of experience in my own tradition. And then when I met the Lord in a different way, I started going to a Baptist church. And I remember the moments or experiences I had about how to make decisions. They look a lot more like, not a boat, but I mean, I don't want to sound judgmental, but, you know, yes, pray for this. But it was a lot like a business meeting. And so I didn't have a lot of context for that. And really, it's not judging, but what's interesting was to read from this perspective the different councils of the early church, right? I think it's Acts 6 or 7 when they are having problems with who gives food to him and to who, and they gather and they say, well, let's pray. Let's find somebody to help us. And they find helpers or others, you know, with Peter and the disciples talking about the Gentiles. And anyway, and when I went to, I remember in school learning about the Quakers and the amazing rich tradition of how they do discernment, that was pretty awesome for me to say, wow. I even remember a movie that I watched, I'm forgetting it right now, a real case of a group of monks that were killed, some of them. The discernment that they had was to stay in this country that was very, very vulnerable. Anyway, another thing to consider is the role of relationships. So, intentional relationships. So, spiritual conversations doesn't mean to, I'm going to teach you what I'm learning of scripture. And, you know, it's not about that, but it is a conversation that has a spiritual content in which I can share. I can kind of listen to myself explaining this. And I have somebody who knows that and listens with me. So spiritual direction is an example of it. Spiritual friendship is another example. Spiritual mentors. I had my experience with people in faith walking, right? We didn't call it spiritual. I have two or three relationships with people who have been at the same time mentors and got to use those conversations, because I will bring also my question, my wonder is with God, and in the conversation there was an amazing clarity. Sometimes came from something they say, but most of the time came out of the conversation itself, even something that I say. I haven't said it that way, but you know, the intentionality of I don't know, but God knows, and we listen. So discerning in community, right? Creating time and space to see God in community, questions to the Lord in community, and relationships that are intentional to listen to the Lord in community. So let's go to have some conversation. Let me finish with this prayer, right? I mean, this is, I think, just an example of the longing for discernment, okay? This is Henry Nouwen's prayer. Dear God, speak gently in my silence. And the loud outer noises of my surroundings and the loud inner noises of my fears keep pulling me away from you. Help me to trust that you are still there, even when I am unable to hear you. Give me ears to listen to your small, soft voice saying, come to me, you who are overburdened, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and humble of heart. Let that loving voice be my guide. So, tell me, what are you present to? What is coming for you as we talk about this discernment?
Well, I find it's important to be intentional about that time with God. And I know that when I sit down and try, I don't get to do it every day, or I'm not intentional about it every day. But when I do have that time, it keeps me so grounded in His word that I don't want the outside noise. I don't want the disruption of life. I mean, I know sorrows are going to happen. Things happen. I don't even want to look at the news. And Mondays are always my big day of meditation. I mean, that is just the practice I start with. And that's just for me. I'm not saying, you know, that somebody has to set that schedule, you know, to repetitively practice this religious act, but I know for myself, I have to. And so, I mean, I practice it in different ways. Like on weekends, I paint. I've talked about that before. That is a spiritual thing for me. Big time of reflection and time alone and listening for God. But the journaling, because the book I was given was from my granddaughter 2 years ago. for my birthday, and I started writing in it during COVID. And at the page, there's scripture. Well, I never used to pay attention to that stuff. Now I actually go look up the scripture. And then and even though another page may have a repeated scripture, it just caused me to start going into more and going into the next chapter and the next chapter. And you learn something every time you dive into his word. It's not always, you may have missed something the first time you read it. And so it is important to drown out that noise, not have anything on at all sometimes. No TV, no radio, no nothing. So.
Thank you, Brenda. You bring up a point that I think is worth it to kind of highlight. That is the reading, how we read, you know. So most of the time we read for information. And that reading is okay. There's a space for that. We need that. But in the spiritual journey, discernment for sure, the reading is a spiritual reading. So we don't read for information. I have read tons of times maybe the same passage. But I present my soul as that living sacrifice, as I'm seeking the heart of the Lord. I come back to the passage. It's like saying, I love you again. You know, okay, I told you when we got married, right? Do I have to repeat myself? Well, of course, right? But I come back in the same, with the same devotion, with the same hope, with the same, I'm seeking your heart, Lord. I'm seeking your heart. And like when I read again, my heart open, seeking the heart of God, there is something about the way that those words, even though I read them so many times, even though they were told to me, they come in a different way that give us that little, I don't know, it's like a little breeze or that little whisper that guides our walk. And spiritual reading is different than the reading that we do in a school, even at the seminary. Okay, for example, my gosh, seminary, there's a lot to read and there's amazing growth. Spiritual reading is slow, you know. It is chewing, it is seeking the heart of the Lord today.
And you know how you just said, you know, like in a relationship, how you said, do I have to repeat myself? You know, I said, I loved you when I married you. I really believe, I just don't know how anybody can have a relationship with God without really getting to know him. And you can't get to know him if you don't read the scriptures and you don't take that time and you don't meditate and you don't pray. It's like being in a marriage. Oh, you know, the spouse is going past each other like ships in a night, you know, kiss, hi, goodbye. But you don't know what's really going on until you take that time to conversate and communicate. And so that's why it's important for me, because as I've been doing that, not just only my faith walking classes, but since I've been doing that, it's making relationship with myself good, with my spouse, my children, and able to just deal with people in public, even not get impatient. I used to be so impatient, and now I've quit looking at things differently because I'm really desiring that heart of Jesus and wanting to act out as he would, with compassion.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But I couldn't have done it without studying.
Yeah. What comes to mind, you know, and I usually talk about this when I talk with couples, right? The analogy, couples. You say you can talk at three levels, I mean, or maybe more. I don't know. This is an easy way to understand. You know, you can talk about facts. What happened? Who did it? Who started? Continue, right? Good. We need facts, right? Facts give us some level of being present to the sacrament of the present moment, right? Okay, facts. But then another level is to talk about the emotions about the facts. So how does facts, how that was say, make me feel? And you know, you go deeper. But you can still miss each other, because I can be mad and you can be also mad and we can be mad separate. But the third level is kind of a level, I call it a level of attachment, of relationship. But this is is opening a new dimension to say how the emotions about the facts, how this conversation, our process, how this is bringing us together, or making us apart. So that is the kind of a spiritual reading. How is this bringing me to you closer, or closer to you today, Lord? Or is this bringing me apart? You know, that is the beloved. You know, how is this? No matter what, right? So that makes me think, that's the kind of a spiritual reading that we're seeking. And it's amazing because at some point it might change the fact that we were so focused on the emotions, right? And then suddenly, people like John of the Cross, boom, you know, in his reading, he breaks through depression, if you want, okay, clinically. And he starts talking about love. And you sit down there and say, it doesn't make sense, but it makes total sense. Right? Something is being done to the soul of that person. And this person, John of the Cross, writing that way is bearing witness of something that is doing something to my own soul. It's the echo of the spiritual journey.
I think what keeps coming to mind for myself is just having that spiritual, what an author I read years ago called spiritual white space, the enough buffers in my day-to-day life, you know, talking about the rule of life, but I have found that I require a lot of spiritual white space to not be anxious or to definitely to hear from God, to be attentive to what he wants me to be attentive to. And I can sense when I'm not getting it, because it's an anxious feeling that starts to feel really heavy inside. And in that prayer that you just read from Henry Nouwen, I took a screenshot of it. He references the scripture about when Jesus says, you know, come to me, you who are overburdened, and I will give you rest. And that scripture has been coming to me through lots of different sources lately. And I have this picture in my mind of, you know, the yoke, because the oxen are yoked and there's that big heavy collar thing. And I think about when I'm not under the yoke of Christ, it's like this huge cast iron yoke that's around my neck and it just weighs me down. But when I'm yoked with the Holy Spirit or with Christ, it's almost, I mean, I think of this yoke of like made of styrofoam, literally, and because he says, I mean, we are yoked with him. We're going in the same direction with him, but it's easy and it's light. And that's how it feels. So I can feel in my body when I'm not getting enough space. And and it is a discipline.
Very good, Trish. Thank you for sharing. Very beautiful. So that word is alive for you.
Yes, it is. Bears, very much so.
Yes, it bears witness of a movement when I am close, when I'm not close. You know, when I'm not close, that is the longing of my soul, is the calling of the beloved saying, come to me, right?
Yes.
This is what your soul needs. Beautiful. I love the white space.
I like your styrofoam yoke, Trish. I've never thought that's a good image. I think of it as like, you know, God is like this big giant oxen that's like doing most of the work, and I just get to kind of like walk behind, like along for the ride. I feel like that whenever I have to move something, like I get my sons who are adults now or like male friends to help. And then they like are picking up the heavy side of everything. And I just kind of help like guide it, you know, where you're both technically working, but like God's the one that's really working. And then he's just kind of leading us. But I like the styrofoam. It's kind of funny, like to think of a styrofoam yoke, but I like that image.
It's beautiful.
Thanks, Laura.
So I've been wrestling, you know, with some questions. And, you know, I think we're wrestling with some of these questions for a couple of weeks. And here I am, right? Here I am bringing the question. And I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes it seems that I know, but I'm not sure I know. And, you know, talking about community. So this weekend we had Evoking Module 6 online retreat with people in Spanish. And obviously, module 6, hey, come on, we know each other very well. We have gone through 6 modules together. So there is, it is more than just a group of people doing free walking. It is a community, and it's a learning community. And you have heard that term in free walking. And I'm so aware that here I am, you know, we co-facilitate. So, you know, they teach some, I teach some, or facilitate some. And I was just aware of how the Lord was speaking to me through all the conversation. People didn't have a clue, but that's discernment in community. You know, there was nothing specific other than, oh my gosh, I know that I know that I know. This is the answer. This is what I believe God is telling. It's beautiful. It's hard to explain, but there is a sense in which it seems not to be related, but there is a certainty that comes from my gut, spiritual gut, right? And moves me into a direction of this thing that I've been praying for weeks. So a little bit of an example of a learning community. And in this case, the community didn't know. We were not being intentional in bringing my question to, it was just seeking the heart of God together. Right? Module 6, what's important for God? Oh my gosh. Boom, boom, boom. God spoke.
Yeah. I think that the conversation that we had just a little while ago in our small groups is very much part of that spiritual community. The encouragement that we can give one another, the examples that we share from our own lives. I know that Veronica and Laura and I had a really lovely conversation together today. That was very encouraging to each of us, I believe. I know it was to me. That's part of this.
I think about where scripture tells us, where Jesus says, you know, where two or three are gathered, there I am amongst you. And you know, I think we all know that. But lately, it seems like I can see his point. If the Holy Spirit lives in me and the Holy Spirit lives in you and you and you and you, it's like the Holy Spirit is doing something amongst us that none of us quite knows what, but it's something personally for each one of us. And I think about that these days. I just think about the importance of spiritual community, and the Holy Spirit's at even more work than he is when I'm all by myself.
Yeah, thank you, Judith. Thank you, Trish. And sometimes we say, I pray for it, right? And it's good. And really, we do pray for it, but it is a lot more than that. Discernment. Imagine your lifestyle of listening to God. I'm just aware that I long for it.
I tell you, since I started Faith Walking Community and Keep Calm, which is where this started, I mean, once I got past the 201, 202, 202, so forth. As long as I've been in church and as long as I served in ministry, I've never felt more spiritually in tune as I do now. And I have not stepped foot in a church since 2020, since COVID. And I served on a ministry team. I was a worship leader. There were things I was doing and actively with the community within my church, but it didn't feel spiritual. It just felt like doing. That's what I meant to say. But this has caused me to actively community-wise, you know, gather, you know, like the regular groups each week and pursue more spiritual in-depthness than ever in my entire life. So Not that I don't desire corporate worship or I don't desire to be in church. I mean, for goodness sake, my husband and I, we run across our Facebook memories of a time when we were at church together as a family or going out to eat with others from church. And I miss that. Mm-hmm. I still miss that. But because of COVID, we can't go. But this has brought more meaning in my life than ever. More change, more transformation. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, and you know, spiritual community creates a space and time for that, you know, and that's part of it. And it's more than just, and I don't judge it really, it's more than just saying, well, we have a fellowship hall, right? It is more than that. It's really deeply more. If you read Henry Nouwen's reflections about his own life in Daybreak, the community, when he spent many years end of his life in Canada, there's a lot. It's easier to see in the stories, and there's not perfect, but we need some of that, and create spaces and times when we seek God together, and I think we all need that and long for that. Well, thank you all for participating and sharing. May we all learn a bit about discernment. Right? We'll continue this conversation next episode, but let me for now read our closing blessing as we usually do. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
I'm gonna look twice at you until I see the Christ in you. I'm looking through the eyes of love. Till I'm looking through the eyes.